Now, the Harking Back column by Emma Brennan, who is an award-winning journalist and former newspaper editor with a fondness for yesteryear. Remembering the gruelling days of SAS-style PE lessons, there was no real escape from the terror of running cross-country and playing netball or hockey as a child. When I look back at my school days, I can't honestly say I remember much of it with fondness. Although I was academically bright enough to do well in lessons, I was relieved when the bell rang, signalling the end of the day. Through hours of stuffing my head full of facts, I kept myself going by thinking about what I would do as soon as I arrived home. Some of my friends enjoyed school, but one lesson filled most of us with dread: PE, or physical education, to give it the correct name. Quite what was educational about it is beyond me, given that I learned very little other than how to survive unscathed. I still don't fully understand the rules of hockey or netball, despite having been forced to play both for years. I was an active child, so it wasn't as if I was incapable. It was just the way PE was structured in most comprehensive schools during the 1970s and 80s, and the limited range of activities, which made it a test of endurance for many. Every lesson would be organised with military precision, akin to an army training camp. And woe betide anyone who dared try to get out of PE on medical grounds, they would undergo an SAS-style interrogation. The activity that struck terror into most hearts was cross-country running. I'm told youngsters still do cross-country of sorts, but I can guarantee it isn't anything like the kind we were subjected to. Running was one of my fortes, but the conditions made cross-country into an expedition even Bear Grylls would struggle with. We would do cross-country whatever the weather, and we didn't wear any special kit either, just our usual t-shirts and shorts, largely unsuitable for the route. We would run for miles across water meadows, through woods and uneven fields, basically places you'd avoid unless you were prepared to suffer a twisted ankle. And even if you did sustain a sprain and tried to use it like a blighty wound to escape cross-country torture, you would be told to walk or limp the rest of the way. And to prevent the tardy from running at tortoise-like speed, cross-country always took place at the end of the day, so you'd be wasting your own time if you dallied and risked missing the school bus. How crafty was that from the PE teachers? Our route cut through the centre of the water meadows, inhabited by a fearsome-looking herd of Highland cows. It also veered unbelievably close to the sewage works. If dodging cows through boggy terrain wasn't torture enough, the route forced us to jump over a sewer outflow, a considerable leap for a 10-year-old. As a relatively small child, I'm surprised I never fell in, but I think I was propelled by sheer willpower. On every run, some poor soul would fail to make it entirely across, losing their footing on the slippery bank. Those that succumbed to the sewer then had to do the rest of the race soaking wet and whiffing high. Needless to say, even those that evaded the sewer returned with chattering teeth, freezing cold, wet, and plastered in mud. It wasn't like the non-cross-country PE lessons were great either. If the PE teachers didn't want to get cold, we would do circuit training in the school gym, which included wielding aloft a medicine ball despite it weighing a ton. The circuit included balancing on beams, vaulting over wooden obstacles, and climbing a rope to the top of the gym more than 20 feet up. In between, we would be prevented from catching our breath by commands to do umpteen star jumps and squats. The only team sports open to girls in those days were netball or hockey. Football and rugby were strictly for the boys. I loathed netball because I was small and usually placed in the highly unsuitable position of goal defence. Even with my arms stretched fully above me, I could not prevent opponents with Amazonian proportions, always in the goal shooter position, from simply plopping the ball in the net directly over my head. Hockey was equally onerous, with at least one child ending the session with bruised shins. We had no protective equipment in those days. My good friend, who excelled at hockey, even managed to get her front tooth knocked out by an overzealous opponent wielding her hockey stick too high. It wasn't until we were older that PE lessons became tolerable, with options to play badminton or tennis instead. We were even allowed to join the boys for basketball, if we were lucky.